There is nothing that smells quite like fresh baked bread. Wouldn't you agree? Just the suggestion of it can make your mouth water. Jimmy John's, the sub sandwich chain, really knows how to capitalize on our sense of smell. Besides being known for freakishly fast delivery, they also have this glowing orange neon sign in their window of their shops that proclaim, "Smells are free." But you know, even if you don't smell the bread when you drive by, just the suggestion of it plants a seed in your mind. It brings forth the memories of fresh baked bread. And now the urge for a great sub sandwich is real. You can almost feel the homemade goodness as you bite through the crust and into those layers of meat and cheese and other fixings. Add a warm chocolate cookie, maybe even a sweet tea, and your meal is complete. Now that I've suggested it, how many of you are going to have Jimmy John's for dinner today? How many would like a Jimmy John's sandwich right now? You see, that's powerful advertising right there. But we're here today not to talk about Jimmy John's or how great they are. The gospel text for today, the temptation of Jesus, follows directly after Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. In fact, it is part of the same narrative. The break in the story, the baptism at the end of chapter 3, separated from the temptation at the beginning of chapter 4, was added to the Bible to help us, the reader. The division of chapter and verse helps us to be able to read God's word in organized, digestible chunks, or to even make mark a specific place for reference. But in this case, it doesn't help us much. In fact, it hinders our understanding because it makes an unnatural interruption in the story. Listen to the words of Matthew starting in chapter 3, verse 16. "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." As you can see in the bulletin, the last sentence was the first verse of chapter 4. The next verse is about fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and the three temptations are also part of the complete story. So it kind of would have been better to make the breaking point at the end of the story, at the point where the story concludes. In this case, it would have been just after the last verse of the lesson for today, verse 12, which is labeled in the ESV, "Jesus begins his ministry." Well, this breaking the story, the inclusion or the exclusion of the preceding baptism verses, may not seem all that important, but it really is. If you don't know the context of the previous verses, if you didn't realize that the temptation of Jesus was actually part of the story of his baptism, you might miss an added dimension in the narrative. Joining Jesus' baptism to his temptation to form one storyline helps us make the connection between Jesus' life and that of the Israelites. Thinking back to the story of the Israelites, you probably remember that the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, suffering hard labor making bricks out of straw and mud. Upon hearing the cries for mercy, God sends a deliverer, Moses, who battles the hard-hearted Pharaoh, unleashing God's 10 plagues against Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, until at last, upon the death of his firstborn son, the Pharaoh relents and agrees to let the Israelites go. Moses leads God's chosen people out of Egypt, but soon the Pharaoh has a change of heart. He pursues the Israelites all the way to the Red Sea, where Moses parts the sea, and the Israelites are delivered from death through the water. The Egyptian army, however, dies as the waters roll in on them and crush them in their unbelief. But the miracle of life is soon forgotten as it doesn't take long for the Israelites to grumble against the Lord because they have no food to eat. We read in Exodus 16 that the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out of the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." The Israelites, delivered through their Red Sea baptism, were being tested in the wilderness by God to believe in His providence. They failed. As they remembered the sweet smell of bread and meat, they longed for the time when they could satisfy their bodily desires, forgetting that they were in slavery and bondage to their pagan masters. But even though that the Israelites sinned against the Lord and failed the test, He still provided for them. He sent them manna and quail with specific instructions to follow to see whether they had learned their lesson and were willing to walk according to His law or not. They failed again, some keeping bread, hoarding it overnight, which bred worms and smelled really horrible. Others did not gather a double portion for the Sabbath and were then left hungry for the day. When faced with temptation, when faced with trusting God and His providence, God's chosen people failed. And we are not really any better than the Israelites. We too have been delivered from the bondage of sin and death in the waters of our baptism. We too are led in the wilderness of this world. We too are faced with temptation. We too give in to temptation just like they did. We too are thinking about what we're going to eat. Thinking about lunch and Jimmy John's. Still anticipating the aroma of baked bread. While we fail to recognize that the bread of life is here laid out for us on the Lord's table. This is the irony that lives within us all, even the Apostle Paul. He describes the conflict that lives within him in Romans chapter 7. "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." We know the very thing that we really need, yet sometimes we choose something else. The Israelites' deliverance from death through the waters of the Red Sea is a parallel to Jesus' baptism and ours. Their temptation in the wilderness is a parallel to Jesus' temptation and ours. Connecting the two, baptism and temptation, completes the story. The key difference is that, unlike the Israelites and us, Jesus didn't fail. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to undo all of what mankind has done since the fall. Fail. That is why Jesus had to be born a man, to take our place. But He did so perfectly. That is why Jesus, sinless as He was, had to be baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. That is why Jesus had to be tempted, so He could overcome the tempter. That is why Jesus had to die, so that He could pay the price for our sin. And that is why Jesus had to be raised from the dead, so we might live. This too is irony. Sinner becoming saint, and saint becoming sinner. But it's just not the irony of the Lenten season. It is the irony of everyday life. We sometimes choose to despise the bread that gives us eternal life, eating instead the sub sandwiches of the world that smell so good but last only for a couple hours, and then the hunger returns unfulfilled. But I tell you that this is the bread that the aroma is pleasing to God. This is the bread that God has provided for us and commanded us to eat. This is the bread that fills us, that forgives our sin, that gives us eternal life. This is the bread which is Christ's body broken upon the cross, given for you. Forget about lunch. Forget about Jimmy John. Jesus, the very bread of life, is calling his children out of the wilderness of sin and disbelief to the heavenly banquet of his body and his blood. Feast on the bread at the Lord's table. Come, take, eat. Jesus has been baptized for you. Come, take, eat. Jesus overcame temptation for you. Come, take, eat. Jesus has saved a seat at the table for you. Come, take, eat. Jesus is offering you eternal life. Leave the Jimmy John's for another day. Come, take, eat. Amen.